Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Eddie Trunk, and it's time for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday. Podcast1.com, Spotify, and of course, Apple Podcast, and a variety of other outlets. However you listen each and every week, thank you for doing so wherever you are in the world. Appreciate your support, and hope you enjoy the in-depth interviews that I bring you with some of your favorite rock and metal artists here every Thursday on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Remember that you got the new ones Thursday. You remember it's totally free. Remember my social media at Eddie Trunk, especially Twitter, where I am most active. Instagram, fan page on Facebook, and eddietrunk.com is the website. Also, got an appearance this week. If you are listening in the Las Vegas area, I will be in Vegas on Friday night at a place called Backstage Bar and Billiards, Fremont Street, hosting the Bald Man Show there with a killer group. It's free. You do need to register to come in, though. You need to get a link. Link is on my website in the Trunk Report on eddietrunk.com. And come on down and hang Friday night, headed to Vegas. Looking forward to it. Spending some time out there, taking a little vacation as well. So should be fun. And I did a gig with these guys in Ohio last week. That was a lot of fun as well. Free show. How can you beat that? Especially in a pandemic where there's hardly anything else going on. And I think you'll have a good time if you come out. Also, if you're looking for a personalized video for you or someone as a gift, I am on Cameo. Find me at cameo.com. Just search my name. And of course, we'd like to thank the sponsor that we have for us that's made some very cool Trunk Nation stickers. That would be Goodies. Goodies Hangover is their new product. It is a powerful pain reliever and a boosting ingredient. Gives you fast pain relief and a boost of alertness to help battle the groggy, tired feeling that comes with a hangover. It's hangover relief at the speed of powder. It's available at Walmart, Dollar General, Amazon, other retailers. More information at goodiespowder.com. And being that I am packing right now to go to Vegas, I am going to pack some Goodies Hangover because I don't often overindulge, but it's Vegas. You know what I mean? So we'll see. Anything else I need to tell you here at the top? Of course, as I always tell you, all the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk Podcast originate on my Sirius XM radio show, which is called Trunk Nation and is live every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time, unless I'm on vacation, then it's a best of. And then there's nightly replays, 10 to midnight Eastern, and there's full shows, audio, video, more on demand on the Sirius XM app. Also have a sixth show for you on Mondays on Hair Nation, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern. There is the terrestrial syndicated radio show, and of course this podcast, making 8 radio shows or broadcasts a week that I bring you, and whatever ones you check out and connect with, thank you for doing so. And I always tell you, if you're in the U.S. or Canada and you don't already have Sirius XM and you are not listening daily on volume, you are only getting a tiny fraction here on this podcast each week of what I'm doing on a daily basis. So please come on board and join me. All right, so today on the podcast, we've got a double dip for you. Well, it's one interview, but it's with two people. Damon Johnson, who has played with Alice Cooper, Thin Lizzy, Brother Kane, Black Star Riders, Now, as a solo career, very talented guy, Damon is on, and joining him at the same time for the interview is Judas Priest guitarist Richie Faulkner. These guys were both on with me together in late September because they did a live stream where they did a Thin Lizzy tribute show. And I got to tell you, in all of the live streams that are going on out there, and we know there are a ton of them, this one was one of my favorite ones because they played so well and the songs are so great. And Jared Pope, good friend on drums. It was a killer stream if you watched it. I don't think it's archived anywhere still, but it was really, really cool. So needless to say, in terms of timeline, you're going to hear a lot pushed and talked about with that stream, which has already happened. It happened over a month ago. But there's still enough great stuff in here from Richie Faulkner and some stuff on Priest and Damon Johnson and what he's got going on, and also just some great Thin Lizzy talk as well. And remember, as I always tell you, I cannot play music on the podcast. So if you hear us talking about setting up a song or going into a song, you do not hear it here on the podcast by design. Because of publishing, we cannot put it on here. But that being said, you can easily go and find it, of course, where you find all your music, streaming, YouTube, whatever the case may be. So Richie Faulkner, Damon Johnson together, some Priest talk, some Thin Lizzy talk, some rock talk, coming up on the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Hey, it's Eddie Trunk. Let's get to it right now. Damon Johnson and Richie Faulkner together on this week's podcast. It's interesting because the guy that's got a new album to promote is the one that's late to this call and should be joining us any second. The responsible one is the guy guesting with him on a Thin Lizzy live stream, and he's wearing an absolutely brilliant T-shirt. Judas Priest guitarist Richie Faulkner. Good to see you, man. It's been a little bit. How are you?
I'm very well, Eddie. Thanks for having me, man. Yeah, I mean, bloody Damon, man. He should have been a drummer, you know. He's always bloody late. Oh, he's joined. There he is. Look, he's just turned up. Look, talking to the devil, and the horns appear. There he is.
He's turned up, and he's sideways. We've got you sideways, Damon. There you go.
It is the pandemic world that we live in, fellas. Oh, my God.
Well,
how you guys doing?
Good, man. You didn't miss anything. We were both joking. Richie was saying you should be a drummer for turning up late. And I said, you're the one who's got a new record. You're the one with the new record to promote, and you're the late guy in. But good to see you, man.
Great to see you, too, Eddie. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to see you. Now I only see me. Somebody tell me how to get this going.
Dude, that's always the way at the beginning of these calls. The first 5 minutes is always us old bastards trying to figure out how to work everything. You know what I mean?
Exactly right, Richie. Totally right.
Yeah, but it's all good. It's great to see you, Eddie. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I got no complaints. I'm still able to work, and I'm still, you know, got my gig every day. And it's been rough for everybody, and everybody's taking their hits, but everybody's kind of figuring it out. And I think we can all say, let's hope that we're on the back end of this and better times ahead sooner than later. I think we're all hoping for that. But Damon, so I want to talk about this stream you guys are doing together. I guess let's talk about the stream first. And actually, let's talk about your relationship with Richie, because I was thinking about this, and I'm saying, would you guys have gotten to know each other when Black Star Riders played with Priest? Was that where you guys sort of made a connection, or was there something before that?
Yeah, man, it goes way before that. And it's funny you asked that, because Richie, I was going to ask you, what was the year that you and Lauren toured with us in the Alice Cooper Band? Was that 2009?
Do you know what? I was trying to remember. We did a gig with you guys in 2006 in Sheffield City Hall.
That's what it was. Yeah. 2006. All right. Everybody's been asking me in interviews, you know, how long we've known each other, because your question is pretty obvious, Eddie, because Thin Lizzy supported Judas Priest in 2011, and then Black Star Rider supported Judas Priest back in, I guess, 2018. So, but yeah, man, I first met Richie way back in 2006, and I just remember having a couple conversations with him. Clearly from his playing, you know, he was fantastic then, and I knew we had some influences in common. And, you know, roll the clock forward, 2011, I've just left Alice Cooper to join Thin Lizzy. Our very first tour dates were in Texas supporting Judas Priest. And to tell you the honest truth, man, I didn't even realize that Richie was in Judas Priest. What year did you join Priest, Richie?
2011. I think it's the same as you joining.
Well, that's right. So, Eddie, that's exactly what happened. I'm in catering, and Richie came walking in, and I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing here?
I was the tea boy. I was making the tea, you know.
Well, that was the first time I saw Richie, and I think a lot of people learned about Richie when you played with Lauren Harris. And for people that don't know, Lauren Harris is Steve Harris's daughter from Iron Maiden, and you guys opened shows for Maiden, and Lauren did a record at that time. I had her on my show, I remember, and I think that was the first time Richie and I met as well. And I think Richie, I was talking to Steve not long ago. She gave up music, right? I think Steve told me she's moved into trying to do acting now. She's done with music, right?
Yeah, she's very much the kind of person who wants to give 100% to one thing rather than 50% to two things, for example. So she tried music for a little while after I left, and then got into acting, and then kind of wanted to pick one. So she went the acting route. And I think she's doing quite well. I think she's got a few parts in some movies over the last few years. I think one of them was she was the stunt double for Felicity Jones in the Rogue One movie. I think she was there's a shot of her hand in the movie. So that's quite a cool thing. But she's pursuing acting, and Lauren was never one to back down from a challenge, and she got us out of a few scrapes in the band a few times. So she's very much like her father. Like, she wants to focus on one thing and one thing only. So good luck to her, you know?
So that's where a lot of people saw you playing with Lauren Harris, with opening for Maiden and the shows you did, and that's where you connected with Damon. But did Priest find you through that gig as well, Richie? I don't recall. Like, the connection to joining Priest from that, was that direct? Was that because they had seen you playing with Lauren?
It was partly that. There was I was recommended to them via a good friend of mine, Pete Friesen, who, ironically enough, coincidentally, used to play in the fucking Alice Cooper band.
Oh, my God.
It's like an incestuous thing going on here. But a couple of the crew guys knew Pete from a band called The Almighty, which, incidentally, was fronted by Ricky fucking Warwick. Right. So there you go. And for one reason or another, Pete put them onto me. I used to play with Pete in a cover band back in the early 2000s. And Pete gave them, by no fault of his own, I don't think so anyway, he gave them an old number. He gave them a wrong number. So Priest were persistent, fortunately enough for me, and they contacted Maiden's production team and asked if anyone's got my number. So it wasn't completely down to that connection, but that definitely helped when trying to track me down and finding out a relevant number for me. And then they called me up.
It's amazing, you know, all the dots connect, and you never know who you're going to run into, where and how in this business. And for as many artists and musicians are in it, it actually is a pretty small circle when you really think about it, that eventually you do run into some of these people, and somebody you may see in the opening act could go on to be in the headlining act a couple years later. And I'm amazed, you know, I was wondering, Richie, out loud before you came on, how long it had been that you'd been in Priest. I thought it was around 10 years. And I'm wondering, next year then would be your 10th anniversary. Have you talked to the guys? You going to get a watch, a ring? Is there some sort of do you get something for a decade in Priest?
Do you know what? That's a good question, and you're absolutely right. It's coming up to a decade, And to be honest, without being a dick, you know, without being cliche about it, I mean, I got into the band on their farewell tour. You know, whatever that meant at the time, whatever farewell means to different people, I was under no illusion that Priest was going to be going any more than 2-3 years, maybe maximum. So to still be, you know, just come off a tour with Priest, more or less. We're working on new music with Priest, as everyone knows. 10 years later is you know, everything I can ever ask for. I know it's a bit of a cliche answer, but it's true, man. You know, I only thought I'd be around for a couple of years, and then the band was going to maybe retire. But 10 years later, still going strong.
Hey, Richie,
that's all I can ask for, bro.
Richie, I have to tell you, man, that there's some commonality about that, because when I left Alice Cooper to join Thin Lizzy in 2011, it was literally going to be the 6 weeks with you guys. And then everybody was going to go back home and just kind of see what's up. And we never came off the road. We stayed on the road all of 2012. That's when the Black Star Riders idea came together. And, you know, in the blink of an eye, 6 or 7 years had passed. I'm sure you know what we're talking about, Eddie. It's like, it's just the nature of the beast. It's how it happens.
Well, people always ask me, you know, what's the secret to 50? I mean, I don't know. I haven't been around for 50 years, but people ask me what I think, being on the inside, what I think that secret is to being together, for being together almost half a century. And, you know, one of the reasons is you can see how infectious it is. You know, you get out on the road, you know, Damon, you get out on the road and you play music to these fans in these countries around the world, and it inspires you to write new music. And when you're writing the music and putting it down, it's like, we can't wait to get back to Japan or Brazil or England and play these songs. And then you go and do that, and then the cycle goes around again. And I mean, Thin Lizzy and Judas Priest have had such loyal fans both now for 50 years. You know, both bands are really fortunate. And again, to be out there making music and performing for fans 50 years later is as big a gift as anyone can ever ask for.
Yeah, I always say, because it's a big talking point with so many of the artists that I have on, is when to say when, and you have a lot of bands that have done farewells or retirements and then pulled back on it. I had Priest on my show, Richie, I think just before you were in the band, that they were talking about and promoting a farewell at that time. The guys in Deep Purple, I just actually went on the road with them not too long ago, and they've been calling their tour the Long Goodbye. And I just talked to Roger Glover a couple weeks ago, and Roger's like, they just put out a new record that's really good. And Roger's like, yeah, I think we're going to make another one. It's just, my position on that, though, when you talk about Priest or you talk about Alice Cooper, both could fall into this category. Go as long as you want, as long as you're still good. And in both of those cases, I mean, people loved Firepower, great record. I saw one of the shows on the tour. Alice, I see all the time. He's unbelievably great still. So as long as you're not going to the show and saying, oh my God, these guys are a creaky shell of what they used to be, then why stop? And Purple's still great too. I mean, you got these guys been doing it 50 years, but some of them are still really, really good. And to me, that's the only criteria that I want to see a band stop as a fan, is if it becomes bad and it's like, oh, I don't want to remember them like this.
I think that's well said, Eddie. And I remember talking with Alice about that at different points in time. And, you know, he's very outspoken with saying the barometer for him is very simple. It's the Rolling Stones. He's like, Damon, as long as the Stones are still out playing and putting on great shows and, you know, obviously, you know, having a engaging front man like Mick Jagger. I mean, the guy's the ever ready bunny, just like Alice. I mean, they're in great shape. They're healthy. You know, I hope all these bands continue to play forever. And, you know, man, it's a thrill for me to have had the experience of playing in Thin Lizzy since 2011, going through the experience with Black Star Riders was fantastic. Writing songs with Ricky Warrick, with Scott Gorham. And for me, Eddie, it was really that time period that kind of got my creative wheels turning again, like not since way back in the Brother Kane days. And I started thinking, man, I'd like to get back behind the microphone, singing my own songs. And that's what gave me the idea to start committing more full time to my own music, to a solo career. So, you know, I toured a lot last year. As you know, we got to support UFO back in February. We did dates with the Winery Dogs back last spring. Did an amazing run with my friends in Clutch toward the end of the year. there was a lot of momentum I was starting to feel. And so that's when I started writing what is my new record that the single is coming out tomorrow. So we had all these plans, man. It was momentum. We had plans. Nick Raskulinix is producing my new record. I know you're a fan of Nick's, Eddie.
As Nick's we a regular are. Listener of the show. He texts me every day after whatever I'm talking about. He's like, hey, check this out. Or he comments on something. And we're in touch all the time. He's not only a great producer, he's a great rock fan. He's really great to talk music with.
So a total rock fan, man. So, you know, and then, of course, mid-March, everything shuts down. We can't finish the record. Everybody's got to go home, stay home. And certainly my family and I are committed to standing on the side of health and safety and doing whatever we can do, man, to try to manage this and get out of it one day. But it is certainly not ideal for musicians, artists, you know, people that want to be putting out new music. It's a scary time. I feel like I'm very fortunate to be in the position as being a fully independent artist. I don't have to have a bunch of board meetings with a major label and, you know, a major promotion company and all that stuff. I look to more, there's a lot of Americana artists that I really look to who are independent, or somebody like Joe Bonamassa. You know, Joe puts out his own records on his own label. So that's, I'm committed to that platform. So we've recorded about 2/3 of the album, Eddie. And we were sitting on a couple of these great tracks, particularly the title track, Battle Lessons. So we just decided, man, let's put it out. Let's just go ahead and put it out. We had planned to have the full release done by tomorrow, September 25th. So we kind of stuck to that date, like, let's put the single out at least then. So I wanted to do something special. I couldn't think, you know, I was starting to think outside the box. My trio and I have done 2 or 3 live streams over this summer, which has been fun. You know, it's given us something to do. It's kind of fed our musical souls, and my little fan base has enjoyed it. But I know that you're aware there's a lot of talk about Thin Lizzy right now. There's a Phil Lynott movie coming out. It's the 50th anniversary of Thin Lizzy. So there's been a lot of talk about that. And, you know, then you add the amazing, crazy good fortune that my old friend Richie Faulkner moved to Nashville last year. And now he just lives down the street from me. And so I called him and I said, hey, man, you want to play some songs? I'm thinking about playing some Thin Lizzy songs, and we're going to play my new single. And Eddie, he couldn't get the word yes out of his mouth any faster. And I'm so thrilled, man. It's an honor to have his participation. We had a run through on Saturday. Brother, it is going to be insane. I cannot wait for people to see this.
All right. Well, we're going to talk. I want to talk a little bit more about this stream and what you guys are doing together. But before we move to that, first of all, it seems like everybody on the planet in the rock world has moved to Nashville or that area in the last 8 to 10 years. It's unbelievable. Like every artist I have on. Yeah, I live in Nashville. I'm moving there. Richie, what facilitated that move for you to set up camp there? It's just the music community?
Oh, really? I lived in Florida at the time, and I was getting a bit bored with the incessant heat and humidity. Now I love Florida, but like Christmas Day was like a day in mid August, and growing up in the cold north of England, well, not the north of England, but in the northern hemisphere in England, like Christmas was cold, and it was you know, pubs with a roaring fire and a baked potato and stuff like that. So. You know, I wanted some, like, some autumn, like some fall weather, and I wanted to look forward to the seasons. You know, when the season of spring rolls around after a 4-month winter, you look forward to it, you appreciate it, and you enjoy the summer, and then the same thing happened. So that was, you know, I was just looking for a change, and my better half knew a few people around in and around Nashville, and there was a couple of options, and I knew a couple of people in Nashville as well, so we looked here and we found a place, and the rest is history, so to speak. So it wasn't really for the music, you know, the opportunities and stuff like that. I knew a few people here because of the music scene, but it was just I fancied a change and wanted somewhere a bit more green and still visit the coast of Florida sometimes, but, you know, the seasons and all that sort of stuff. So that's basically what it is. I'd love to say it was, you know, for the music, but it weren't really. But here I am sitting in a load of music and marshals and stuff. But obviously it's in our blood. It's going to happen. But no, it's a beautiful part of the world. It's nice and green where we are. And, you know, everyone's fairly, what's the word, fairly smart with what's been going on and looking after themselves and each other and taking precautions. So when the opportunity came up with Damon, when Damon gave me a call, everyone's looking after their own, you know, making sure they've got their own bases covered. And that goes for everyone. And it seems like there's you know, you've got to be careful where you say things these times, but less risk. Again, everyone by this time has got their own house in order. So, yeah, we got together for a rehearsal. Again, everyone's safe and everything like that. But I'll tell you what, man, it was good to fire up the amps after. We haven't been on the road with Priest over a year now. We finished in Las Vegas at the end of June 2019.
I was at that show.
Oh, you were that one. Oh, brilliant. Okay.
I saw that show. It was fantastic. I was sitting up on the top and just watching it. It was fantastic. I was there.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks for coming, dude. I mean, we didn't know you were there. But
I was there.
Just to fire up those marshals after, you know, a year was a good thing and a bad thing for our ears, because our ears have had a year off. They're like, bloody hell. You know. But it felt really good, man, just to get together with a good band with some great songs. And to rock out. So, you know, looking forward to tomorrow, absolutely.
You have another consideration. We mentioned this off the air, but 11 weeks ago you became a dad and you have a daughter now, so you're raising a family, so you need to put down some roots in a cool place like Tennessee, I would think.
Well, yeah, that was kind of the you know, we found a beautiful house that kind of lent itself to a family. It was too big for me and the wife, you know, but it was big enough to kind of maybe start putting down roots, and that was part of the semi-plan. And then it just kind of happened that way. She's 11 weeks. She's I mean, you count your blessings, really. I mean, this whole coronavirus has been brutal to a lot of people, and, you know, everyone's affected by it in one way or another. But we were going to be out, obviously, like everyone else was, this summer just passed, for 3 months, 2 months in Europe. I was going to miss the baby's birth. So, you know, it's just, that's what we do for a living. And, you know, as I said, my better half is dialed into that. She knows our world and everything and was accommodating. And it's just the way the cookie crumbles, you know. But because of all that, that got postponed till next year. I'm here for the baby's birth and this stage of her life. So, as I said, man, it's a silver lining to sort of maybe offset some of the grief that's going on out there. So, you know, it's, as I said, you count your blessings.
Yeah, there's a lot of artists I've talked to in the last 6 months who are actively tour, sometimes in more than one band. And that's the biggest thing that they've all relayed to me is like, yeah, it sucks not being on the road and it sucks not having the work. But the flip side is, if you can afford to do it, it actually is kind of cool to sort of reconnect and be home a little bit and sort of, you know, get that bond going. And for you, having a child, I mean, that turned into being a great blessing. How do you like being a dad? How's it feel?
It's a trip, man. It's like you look into your own eyes, you know, and it's, you know, like everyone tells you, you can't prepare yourself until it happens. You know, people have got loads of different accounts and different stories to tell you what to expect, and dude, it all goes out the window once you have it. As you both know, it's a new set of rules. There's no sort of nothing can prepare you for it. And it's funny, you know, you call up people and everyone's either, you know, you call up a friend, I call up Damon, or I spoke to Phil Demmel from Machinehead or ex-Machinehead a couple of months ago, and he's doing his fence. I spoke to another friend of mine, he's learning gardening, he's doing his rockery, you know. I spoke to my dad the other day, he's painting his house. Everyone's like doing home improvements and stuff. So it's a really, you know, it's a weird time, but everyone, you know, it's the human spirit, man. Everyone's kind of making the best of the situation. For the most part, and you know, and these things where everyone's, you know, are we 7 months in now or 6 months in now? It's a few months now anyway.
Yeah.
And a few things are starting to happen. You know, as I said before, people got their houses in check, if you know what I mean. So Bonamassa, as Damon said, just done something at the Ryman. Obviously, no audience. I think he had like a cutout audience, which was really cool. People are starting to sort of move around because, you know, as was it Jurassic Park where Ian Malcolm says, life finds a way, you know, and after a certain time away, people start to figure out, you know, what can we do? How can we do it? And it makes us, all us creatives, yourself as well, Eddie, like look at different ways of doing things. How can we do this? How can we reach these people? How can we still put out the things we love to do in a different way? And, you know, sometimes you know, like all these live streams, and people are still looking to create music and get it out to the masses, and the masses are still wanting that entertainment. So people will find a way, man, and this is just another representation of that.
So for people that don't know, your daughter's grandfather is George Lynch, who, and I know
what?
George, I know I know George very well. What is George like as a father-in-law? And have, has the kid started playing guitar yet between the two of you? The genes must be unbelievable.
It's funny, man. George's daughter, who's my better half, you know, she's got a beautiful, tiny little leather jacket from the early 80s. Cool, and it's got Baby Scary on it. And it's got like a painted, I think, I didn't follow Dokken or Lynchmob or anything like that, so I wouldn't really know. But I think it's like a logo on the back. And it's like literally this big when she was a baby. So, you know, our baby's going to get that. But the first time George and his wife came over, the night they got here, me and George just played guitar all night. So, you know, the women chatted, and me and George just played guitar. And George is a lovely guy, you know. He's like a quiet, humble guy. He's a killer guitar player, as we all know. And he texts Mariah every day, like, when can I see my granddaughter? When can I see my granddaughter? But, yeah, man, we sat there, we played guitar. We, you know, we talked about guitars. And he's a big Priest fan as well, you know. He loves Priest. And so, yeah, we were talking all night until I put on some Eric Johnson. And then that kind of shut us both up, and we didn't want to play guitar anymore. So, you know, no, but he's a lovely guy, man. I think we're going to see him soon as well. So, yeah, man, as I said before, it's the next in line of, you know, that heritage. George Lynch, Lynch Mob, Dokken, there's Judas Priest in there. And now we've got the little princess. So she's the next in line in the gunslingers, you know. So she's got, I know you've got to go into a break, man, but EMG, you know, EMG pickups, they sent me this beautiful pink flying V for her first guitar. I'll have to send you a picture of it. It's absolutely beautiful. It's bright pink with a little pickup in it, and it actually plays well. So that's her first guitar. So she's well on her way now.
That's brilliant. That's great stuff. Well, congratulations. So, Damon, take us through this. What have you guys worked out for tomorrow? And for people that watch the stream and get a ticket, this is live. You didn't do it already, right? It's not a canned thing. You're actually playing live.
That's right. And, you know, I'm really grateful that my band, my trio, has had the benefit of doing two or three streams already this summer. It kind of helped us get around the technical aspect of it. I remember there was, like, some anxiety the first time we did it. It's just such a wacky concept if you think about it. But yeah, this, we're stepping it up. The place that we've been doing the live streams as a trio, Eddie, we have a friend that's got a little home studio, and it's perfect for the three of us to get in there and, you know, be 6 feet apart, and we can play, and it's easy. But there was once we added Richie, that four people, it's impossible. So what we're going to do, man, we're stepping it up. We're taking out the big room at SIR rehearsal facility here in Nashville. And we're going to bring in a couple of lights. You know, we got the Marshall stacks and the big drums, and Jared Pope, who says hello, by the way.
Love Jared.
You know, man, we just, for us, as Richie mentioned earlier, it just feels like a proper gig. It feels like a regular gig up to the point, you know, when you end the song and there's dead silence. that's the hardest thing to you don't even want to get used to it. It's hard to get your head around that. But
I'm used to that anyway. You know, I remember times not so long ago. I used to play a song and finish it, and it'll be dead silence anyway. So I'm well acclimatized to that.
Richie's in his comfort zone.
Well, speak for yourself, pal. I've been playing to this massive crowd since I was 17. Not really. But Eddie, you know what, man? One of the most fun aspects of this was putting the set list together.
And
we're not going to reveal the entire set list. We want to keep some of it a surprise. We're definitely going to cover some of the hits because we love those songs as much as we do the deep cuts. But definitely going to be some surprises. There's certainly people in the guitar community that are familiar with Thin Lizzy's legacy of incredible players. So, you know, online, there's been a few fans asking about specific songs, and I'll just give them a thumbs up, which means, yeah, we're going to do Emerald. Yes, we're going to do Black Rose.
Oh, all right. That's news to Richie.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Who's Gary Moore in this equation?
Yeah. Well, I guess, that was one thing that was kind of easy, because on paper you go, oh, my God, you're going to play Thin Lizzy. You got to split up all those parts. All I had to do was tell Richie, hey, man, play all of Scott Gorham's parts, because that's the way it is in the band now. For the most part, I'm covering all the Brian Robertson and the Gary Moore and some of the Snowy White stuff. But we have taken some liberties, Eddie. We've changed some of the arrangements. I definitely wanted to give Richie a platform, to stretch out on some stuff. And I'll say it right here on your show and to your face, Richie, brother, you are killing it. It just sounds so fantastic playing these songs with you. And, Richie, much like myself, man, playing with Thin Lizzy, you want to stay true to the spirit of those songs. And also for me as a fan, if I go see, an alternate version of any classic band, I'd like for the guitar players to stick to those great parts that I've loved and gotten accustomed to my whole life.
Especially Thin Lizzy. Especially Thin Lizzy. Two guitars, yeah.
Yeah, man. And Richie's absolutely doing that while at the same time bringing his own style to it, which is incredible and impeccable in itself. So, listen, man, it's a thrill for me to hear him playing with us. I can't imagine how much the fans are going to love it when we play.
Well, we don't know how it's going to go yet. They might not love it.
You don't know. Damon, are you singing?
Eddie, like,
go ahead, Richie. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, the interesting thing was when, Damon sent me the songs that we're looking to do, and I've been playing, the majority of these songs for years in cover bands, and it was, the hard thing was to, because there'd never been really any rules about who plays what. It's like, I was usually the main guitar player, so you just take whichever harmony you feel like. So it was kind of relearning the songs with the different harmony, so it was quite tough. It was actually easier, Damon, I didn't tell you this, it was actually easier to learn your song afresh than relearn some of the Lizzy ones, because like it's been drilled in my brain for so many years, like that's the harmony to play, and you get so close, and it's like, oh no, it's the other one, but it keeps you on your toes. And I realized when we played it at rehearsal, there's no substitute for playing live with that live mindset, because you can't mess up, it's a rehearsal, but you play it like you mean it. And when, like, those songs, Lizzy's songs, even the rhythm parts, they're technical, they're dynamic. It's an absolute joy to play all those songs. The poppy side of hard rock requires a different approach on the guitar sometimes. And it's a great work. It's like the Priest stuff, it's dynamic in a way that heavy music really isn't as much today. It was more dynamic back in the day. So it was good to, as Damon said, stretch your wings a bit and approach those songs, and an absolute breath of fresh air.
Well, Damon, I got to ask you something now. Now, I know you don't want to give too much away about the set list, but you just ran down all the other guitar players. So if Richie Scott Gorham in this equation, you're going to cover all that turf, and you ran down a lot of names. But one you didn't mention is one of my all-time favorites, and that's John Sykes. Will we hear anything from the Thunder and Lightning album, the final Thin Lizzy record? Cold Sweat, title track, maybe?
Eddie Trunk, maybe.
Ah.
Maybe not.
Oh.
You will have to tune in.
I
got to
buy a ticket.
Hey, and I will say this as well. If we do play a song off of Thunder and Lightning, I will not be playing the John Sykes part.
Richie's got to be Gorham and Sykes?
Yeah. Well,
Richie's got his hands in his face.
I know this for a fact because Scott admitted it to me himself. I mean, there's some of those tracks on Thunder and Lightning that Scott's not even on. Like Sykes was basically playing all the parts.
Right.
Man, that was a tough period for the band. Health-wise, those were dark times, especially for Phil and for Scott. So, brother, you of all people, Eddie Trunk, you will not be disappointed with this set list.
Let me ask you two not from Thunder and Lightning. All right, these are two super underrated Thin Lizzy songs to me. Angel of Death.
We don't have a keyboard player, so we're not playing Angel of Death. You got to have keyboards for Angel of Death, Eddie.
Hollywood?
Maybe.
Maybe I get one of three. Right now, Richie's sitting there saying, am I playing this stuff? Richie's got his arms crossed. He's like, I guess we'll figure it out tomorrow.
Solo, you know, like body language says everything. When someone brings up that John Sykes solo, I shut down, you know, I get all defensive. Me and Damon were talking about it, you know, like, and you can reiterate the story better than I can, Damon, but I think you guys were doing it and someone asked you, he said, are you going to do Cold Sweat? And you said, yeah, we're going to do it. And they said, you're right with that solo, bro, you know, or something like that. Because everyone knows it's a killer solo, but it's a pig to play. So we'll see how it goes on the day.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Megadeth covered Cold Sweat, recorded a cover of it, and even Dave and those guys kind of freelance that solo a little bit. It's not right, you know, exactly what it is, and they'd be the first to tell you the challenge of that, no doubt. Let's get to the important thing here, because look, anything you play from Thin Lizzy, the catalog is so amazing, and I've talked about this a million times. Sadly, here in America, it's a song or two people know generally, unless you're hardcore. But Thin Lizzy's such a huge band globally, this being a global stream. So you're going to have, I'm sure, people checking it out because they're fans of what you guys do and they casually know Lizzy. And then you're going to have people maybe around the world watching and excited about this. Tell the audience, Damon, how they get to watch it and what they have to do and where they have to go to get a ticket.
Thank you, Eddie. It's very simple. We've been using a great platform called Veeps. You spell that V as in Victor, E-E-P-S. They have the quality of the audio is fantastic. The video is great. All you got to do is go to damonjohnson.veeps.com, and it takes you directly to the ticket link. You can go to my website, just damonjohnson.com as well, and find your way around. But if you go to damonjohnson.veeps.com, it goes straight to the ticket link. You can get a basic general admission ticket. There's some cool bundles in there where we're going to give fans the chance they can pre-order our new album, a signed CD or a signed vinyl that we'll send them once we got that all together. Eddie, the coolest thing about this platform is they give the ticket buyer the flexibility of having 48 hours to watch the show whenever they want. And I've already had fans reach out from Japan, from Australia, from Russia. You know, they're like, thank you. You know, I don't have to, you know, not be with my family on a Saturday morning.
Time differences and stuff. Right.
Yeah. Watching a rock show at 5:30 in the morning. So it's really fantastic, man. And, you know, you can watch it as much as you want over the entire weekend.
And given that there's this movie coming, which we've been lucky enough to see, and it's fantastic, has there been talk, Damon, of doing stuff with Lizzy? I know I talked to Scott not too long ago, and he was actually really interested in doing a little run in America to sort of celebrate some of these anniversaries and stuff. Has there been talk of Lizzy going out?
Eddie, there's always talk. You know, there really is. There's always talk. I think, you know, for Scott, Thin Lizzy is just, it's that mistress that he just can't put down. And certainly the fans are grateful for that. And, you know, it's an honor for me to be even a small part of that. So, of course, the pandemic has changed everything. The pandemic has just made everything a question mark. But I do know Scott very much wants to do some more dates. There is a lot of great attention on the band right now with the Phil Lynott movie, the 50th anniversary. And, you know, Thin Lizzy is absolutely one of those timeless great bands from an era that, you know, there were a lot of great bands and Lizzy was one of the best. So, you know, man, that's why I'm really grateful to Scott and the rest of the guys in Thin Lizzy that, you know, I can pursue my solo career full time and still be a part of Thin Lizzy, because I don't think the band's ever going to do some massive 60-day tour. I don't think that'll ever happen again. But, man, the phone rings. You want to go play at some Thin Lizzy shows, I'm there. And I'm grateful for that, and it's a real honor.
All right, so everybody
go to our drummer as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right. The drummer
Scott, Scott played, right? Yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of people that have rotated in there. Tom Hamilton played some shows, I know. There's been a lot of different people that have, Vivian Campbell I saw play with the band. So it's been pretty interesting. But we want to remind everybody, DamonJohnson.veeps, VEEPS.com. And that takes you right to the link to watch this 8 o'clock Eastern tomorrow, live as it happens from Nashville. And you can see it archived for 48 hours. Richie, I got to ask you, speaking of 50th anniversaries, I know there's Priest stuff, again, that was put on hold and what have you. Most importantly, how's Glenn doing? Any update that you can give us on how he's doing?
He's doing okay, man. I appreciate you asking. I know Glenn would as well. With this sort of challenge that he's got, it's up and down, you know. I've seen a picture of him actually recently. He FaceTimed with me, and he's got a beard, which I don't think Glenn Tipton's ever had, which is he's like the new hipster 2020 Glenn Tipton. But he it's good days and bad days as only we can hope. So but he was in good spirits, so he'll definitely appreciate you asking. Thanks for that, dude.
Yeah, please send him my love. I mean, we're all thinking of him and pulling for him and praying for him. And hoping for the best there. And as far as Priest plans, you guys are just, have you made progress on a new record, or is that all on hold as well?
Well, we started up earlier in the year. Nothing no one doesn't already know. We started on the new record earlier in the year, me, Glenn, and Rob. And then because, we all went home for the summer, and we were going to reconvene later on because we really want to get back together and do it all together. You know, that's where the magic happened on Firepower. And we just haven't had the chance to be able to do that. So for the foreseeable, I'm at home coming up with midsections and solo sections in there. You know, we've got like 15-minute opuses. No, we haven't, but, because it's left up to me, I'm coming up with just guitar solos. But as soon as we can, as Damon said, as soon as we can, we'll get back to some sort of normality. We'll get back in the studio and continue with it.
And of course, big times for Priest. You've got the 50th anniversary book, and you've got Rob's book, which I just got a copy of. I haven't had a chance to read yet. So there's still some things happening for Priest fans to check out to hold us over until new music or live shows happen. So anything I forgot that you need to add? I got about a minute before I got to wrap up so we can get your song in, Damon. Anything you want to throw out there?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, Eddie, I'm also thrilled to I'm thrilled to share. I've finally given my band its own moniker. You know, I've been a lifelong fan of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers and Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. So we are now Damon Johnson and the Get Ready. And the bad news for Richie Faulkner is he's now a member of the band.
Whether I like it or not.
So when, we're going to do the stream tomorrow night, we're going to rock all these Thin Lizzy songs, and we're going to cap it with a performance of our, the title track from the new record, Battle Lessons. And Richie is killing it, Eddie. It's such a thrill to have him playing on it, man. So he stuck with us. We can't play it live anymore without him. So until Judas Priest gets back on the road, you have a new gig, Richie. Congratulations.
Thanks for that.
Richie just found out on live radio that he joined another band. Who knew? It reminds me, I talked to Tony Iommi recently, and I talked to him about when Ian Gillan was in Black Sabbath, and they just got drunk one night, and Tony said to Ian, "You got to come sing in the band." And Ian was drunk and said, "Yeah, sure, I'll do it." And that's how Ian Gillan got in Black Sabbath. And the next day, Ian's manager called him and said, "Hey, why don't you consult me before you join a major band?" That's a true story. It's amazing.
Wow.
That's how
I've
stuff
never
happens.
Heard that.
Yeah,
that's
a true
incredible.
Story.
That's
Guys, it's
incredible.
Great to see you both. Damon, congratulations on the new music. Richie, congratulations on the baby. My best to you and your wife. And we look forward to normal times where we can all hopefully hang out and do all this sort of stuff face to face. And again, DamonJohnson.veeps.com is where you go. I'll tell you what, there's a barrage of streams right now, as you know. And I'm kind of like, okay, another stream, but playing all Thin Lizzy songs, you two, I'm going to get on that computer at least and check some of that out. Well, a lot of fun talking to those guys. That was done, as you could probably tell, over Zoom, which means there is video of it as well. If you are a SiriusXM subscriber, you can watch that if you'd like, available on demand on the SiriusXM app. Like I always tell you, all the interviews here on the podcast come to you from my daily radio show on SiriusXM, Trunk Nation, heard Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on 106 volume with nightly replays, 10 to midnight Eastern, and of course, everything on demand on the app as well. Please join me if you're not already and you are in the U.S. or Canada. course, I am on vacation, so I'll be back with live shows on 106 starting next Thursday. You can check out Best Ofs in the time slots, though, the rest of the way. Thank you to Katie Irizarry for producing the podcast. Remember to connect with me on social media at Eddie Trunk, especially on Twitter, where I am most active. And again, a big thank you to Goodies, Goodies Hangover, powerful pain reliever, boosting ingredient. You get some fast pain relief and a boost of alertness. It'll help you battle the groggy, tired feeling that comes with a hangover. It is hangover relief at the speed of powder. It's available at Walmart, Dollar General, Amazon, other fine retailers. More information about Goodies Hangover at goodiespowder.com. See you guys next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast.